Good morning. Our text this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 10, and we begin in verse 16, and we go all the way, race all the way, we might say, to verse 22. And so I'll be reading from the NIV this morning, and then I'll be giving you my own interpretation of what I think each proverb is saying. At least I will teach off that interpretation. The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked them punishment. He who heeds discipline shows the way of life, but whoever ignores correction leads them astray. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, but whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. And the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. And finally, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. These proverbs this morning, one is on material things, one is on daily living, and four is on communication. And here is what I believe the text is teaching from my vantage point. Verse 16, seek enduring wealth, and I'll define that for you. Money here only, that would be money in this lifetime, and that's all you have, is sure and certain death. 17, wisdom is to be stored away in our minds, but fools teach rebellion. And then we have four about communication here. Any form of communication that hurts is foolishness. That's 18. 19, talk less and work at it. It's a skill. 20, make your communication of great value. 21, live a life that gives away while the wicked starve. And finally, the life of wisdom is anticipating constant blessing and joy. It's anticipation and expectation. Okay, here we go, beginning in verse 16. And this is really a perfectly balanced proverb. You notice, if you look at verse 16, wages matches income, righteousness matches wicked, life matches punishment. The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked bring them punishment. So let's understand the term wealth from the very beginning. The rich man in the book of Proverbs is the man that only has wealth here. That's not what wisdom is interested in. It spends very little time on riches here, except the responsibility for them. Really, to be rich in the book of Proverbs is to have a term called enduring wealth. That is Bruce Waltke's term for it. That is wealth beyond the grave. Enduring wealth is what lasts. That's the idea. And interestingly, if you look in the first line of the proverb, it tells you exactly how to get it. Very clear, by righteousness, by righteous behavior, and all that that entails. Never by any form of wicked behavior whatsoever. Wicked behavior and wealth do you absolutely no good. Proverbs 10:2, ill-gotten treasure is of no value. Here we're talking about enduring wealth, enduring value. Enduring wealth is money that never goes away. Here's the apostle's description of it. In the squalor and filth of a Roman prison, he said, there is laid up. That is a compound Greek verb that means you cannot snatch it away, steal it away. There is no bomb big enough to blow it up or waste it away. It is laid up. And then he says three times, for me, to me, personalizing it, this wealth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day. But not only to me, but to all of us who love His appearing. You know, that is what I want for you. That is the end of my life and the end of whatever ministry He allows me to have for the rest of my days. I want to empty myself to make you great. That's the power and the passion of my life. That you would be great in the kingdom. And whatever I can do to help you to do that, that's what I want to do. 24/7. Make you great in the kingdom. This word wage refers to rewarded, painful work, stressful long hours, disciplined focus. It's what God has ordained for us, the sweat of our brows, in order for us to live life. But I want you to look at this proverb. This life, here we had in verse 11, the fountain of life, meaning a valuable well of greatest value to people in that culture in that time back then. But this is not the wellspring of life. This is life. What is that? That's for the ancients in Proverbs, that is wisdom, that's skill. For us in the New Testament as believers, that's the abundant life of Christ, reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That is how we get going every day. The realities of life is that the unregenerate have wealth and wealth, and we look at these young tech geniuses and their technology and their wealth. It's staggering. We've never seen wealth like this at all. But that's not the book of Proverbs wealth. It doesn't take you anywhere. It doesn't take you beyond the grave. And make no mistake about it, abundant materialism is not abundant life. That is the lie of the evil one. Temporary things only can take you so far. That Maserati that you drive out of the driveway can only take you so far. You've got to fill up with gas somewhere, someplace, somehow. The book of Proverbs takes us beyond the grave. Skill for living today, an abundant future for tomorrow. That's the believer. And notice your first line. He and He alone is your wage payer. We have a change of word here in the second line. This word earnings, NIV, is called an income. It means any source of revenue, meaning all that benefit of revenue, dollars, compounding interest, that produce a certain form of life. But here is the reality of that life. Have that only in the Proverbs? It is just end. It is sin and death. That's it. Can't buy your way out of a sick bed. You can never buy your way out of the grave. That's where we're all headed. And this is the life that takes us beyond what is deeper and darker. This is a life that says, let yourself go and be free to serve Him in any and every capacity that you have that God would put you in providence to have. Not the life of materialism. In a world of materialism, anything that you can buy and afford, you can have. But you cannot buy spiritual things. And the gospel is free. And the teaching ministry of the word is free. It is the most powerful commodity in all of creation, and it's absolutely free for you and I. Remember, it's all built around, for the working man, his numbers. I remind my men on Friday morning, as businessmen, you live in a world of numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Numbers of barrels of oil. Numbers of cubic feet of gas. Numbers of acres owned. Numbers of acres leased. Numbers of patients. Numbers of clients. Numbers of shares. Numbers of the price of shares. It's all numbers. But look at your text. Where do your numbers come from? They don't come from your smarts. They come from above. They come from the Lord. So why are you not always putting Him ahead of your numbers? You dote over your numbers. You think about your numbers. But your numbers are secondary to Him. Seek the kingdom first. And ask Him every day for your daily bread. It's what He taught you to pray. So pray it. And why aren't you praying it? Men, they fill their minds with their material things. That's because it's in their DNA. John F. Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy, went to one of his Boston yacht clubs one day, was sitting with three close friends, and he received a phone call, and back then they brought the red phone to the table. That was really a big thing. And the men around the table could discern rather quickly that he was involved in an inappropriate relationship with a Hollywood star. It was Gloria Swanson. She wanted to know when he would be coming to Hollywood. After he got off the phone, one of his closest friends just shouted out at the table, "My God, Joe, what is it that you want?" "What is it that I want?" he said. "I'll tell you, I want it all." That's the heart of man. It's my heart, that's your heart. That's our hearts. I got my granddaughter, 3, put her up in my lap on Thanksgiving, and I said, "You know, Christmas is coming. I might need to know what your needs are." She said, "Oh, I want 20 things. I told her mother that. She said, "Well, you got to understand, 20 is the grandest number that she knows." But that's our hearts. We want it all, don't we? But then the life of the apostle and what he taught us. "This one thing I do," he says. "This one thing that I strive for, that I press for, to know Him, to know Christ, that is the life. You put Him first, and everything will come your way in God's providential timing. Never get discouraged by where you are. Never. God in His providence is always in the next thing." And that's our last proverb. Here's 17. 10:1 told us of the after effects of teaching wisdom to our children. The effects were joy and gladness. But here our proverb refers to the joy upon others. The translation here in the NIV is a bit confusing. The word heed is better to keep or to guard. You see that verb throughout the book of Proverbs. He keeps, he guards. Proverbs 2:8, for he keeps or guards the course of the just. The word discipline is instruction. And when connected with this verb, to keep or to guard, it refers to the memory. For example, the words of teaching from the parent, 4:21, do not let them out of your sight. It stays here. That's the way we teach our children. Back then, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't have any books. So it was all here. That's our instruction for our children as much as possible even today. A Navy SEAL on a mission survives by his training. It's your training, my training. That's what we live by. Storing up this knowledge in reserve. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words, store my commands within you. Then the child is on the right path. And you see those last four words, the way to life, referring to your daily relationship with God, the power of the regenerating force of the Holy Spirit. The faithful young person is the child who not only lives life, but he lives it to the fullest. Now, the second line serves as the contrast to that. This verb to ignore means to abandon, like one abandons a ship. And it's translated in the NIV in chapter 2 and verse 13 as to leave. The word of one who leaves the straight path. And then there is, in that second line, correction. If you respond, says wisdom, to my rebuke or my correction. And it's translated in the NIV in chapter 1 and verse 23 as rebuke. So, here's a picture of rebuke. It's Numbers chapter 12 and verse 14. It's when Miriam began to speak out in the camp because Moses had married a Cushite, a woman of darker skin. So God was displeased. And what did he do with Miriam? He turned her skin absolutely white. You want to be white? I'll make you white, God said. How's that for a discipline? And Miriam, when Moses and Aaron sought intervention, here's what the Lord God of all creation said. He said, if I'd been her father, I'd spit in her face. How's that for correction? That's your word, rebuke. So let's remember, when our children leave our home, they either become a missionary or they're a mission field. They're either leading others to life or they're being led to life. There's no middle ground for them. What we teach our children and our grandchildren is stay clear of the wicked. In any way you possibly can, stay clear of them. And now in verses 18 through 21, we come back to a frame of Proverbs that's all about what we've already talked about, that is the mouth and communication. The key word here is verse 18, lips, 19, tongue, 20, tongue, 21, lips. It's all about communication that comes forth from our mouth. The fool of Proverbs uses his mouth to spread lies or rumors. That's the person spotlighted here in verse 18. Lying lips, lips that misrepresent, lips that slander, half-truths, distorted facts, exaggerated stories about what one did or did not do. Behavior of a fool. Why? Because he has hatred in his heart. His heart revealed by his mouth. All of the activities of the mouth are used to hurt and harm. And this word to conceal, to hide, the root of the word we've seen before in the manner of it. It's violence. Violence that overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. It just sprays out everywhere. We are to guard our hearts. That's Proverbs. Guard your heart. How do you do that? Well, you deal with the heart. That's how you do it. I used to listen to Elizabeth Elliot for 10 years, every morning on the radio. This woman that went with her husband Jim out to reach the Alka Indians, and he was speared in the river. And if there was anyone that would have anger or hatred or resentment of those people, it would be her. But she said, Lord, I'll be your vessel. If you want me to still reach these people, I'm available. And in the providence of God, God over time opened those doors, and she went in and lived with them and led the very men that speared her husband to Christ. Here's what she taught me about resentments, harboring resentments of what people have said to me or about me. She said, you take it to the altar and you burn it up. You know, that Old Testament picture, that smoke swirling up, and God says from the Old Testament, I love that smell. I love that aroma. Somehow, some way, that's pleasing to Him. And that's what she said to do. And then you can always look back and say, when you feel a pinch of resentment about someone or something, you know, I already burned that up. That's why she was a great person and had such a fabulous ministry. Look, slander, gossip, misrepresentation of anything from our mouth, that's a fool. Right or wrong, that's a fool's behavior. Here's the second line. Look, spreads, literally, who causes to come out or bring forth to tell. Slander, such an onerous word. This person is a destroyer in the community. But never miss this in the book of Proverbs, that as he goes about his destruction, the one he's really destroying is himself. That's clearly. Here's the way I've just lived with it. When people have said many negative things about me, and some of them are deserved, I say, so what? I'm not very important anyway. And I'm not. So I go on. Verse 19. Here is our second line that reinforces the previous thought of verse 18. Multiplying words. That's the key to the proverb. The more that you use of them, the more problems you have. The wise person is the person that uses words with restraint. There's a time and a place for words. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words or honeycomb to the soul, healing to the bones. Proverbs teaches, spare your words. Spare your speaking, and you'll be wise. And God will bless you for it. That's a real skill, to listen. Here's 20. Righteousness that balances wickedness. The gist of the proverb, you've got something negative to say about someone, don't. Just stop. Just don't. The tongue reveals the heart. That's your issue, the heart. You see it right here. The idea is that words on the outside often reflect what's on the inside. And as we've seen, the heart, it stands for one's core or personality. Here in line 1, the words of the righteous have been purified like silver. And notice the contrast to the second line, of little to no value. It is the tongue of the righteous that is so valuable, contrasted to something that's absolutely of no value whatsoever. The choice silver communication of the righteous. Let me tell you a quick story. In another city, there was a woman that husband died. They were both Christians. He died suddenly, and it wasn't long before this widow took up with another man and moved in with him. Now, the mother-in-law of the husband that died, godly woman, and someone mentioned this to her, how shameful it is, and they know that it is a personal great hurt to this mother-in-law to see this. But here's what she said. Here is the quicksilver. She reached across the table and she patted the woman's hand. And she said, oh honey, you and I have never been in her providence or situation. Let's give her grace. That happened 15 years ago, and I was told about it, and I've never forgotten it. What a wonderful woman of grace in her communication. Here's 21. The righteous mouth, in contrast to the mouth of the fool, specifically, the contrast is between lives. We just observed in verse 20, the righteous with his pure silver mouth that's so valuable. And now here's another predicate to describe it. Look, the NIV uses the word nourish. We have other translations that say feed. Here is a good metaphor for this proverb. It is the shepherd. I like that. Psalm 23, the shepherd, the work of the shepherd. What he does for people. He provides, he leads, he revives, he defends. That's your first sentence. A righteous person will be involved in feeding, nourishing, ministering to others. I take this both spiritually and physically. Any way that we can help, any way that we can be involved in the betterment of another person's life, we need to do that. The characteristic of a righteous person is to be a feeder. He's a giver. She is a giver. They give out. For person to say, you do so much for so many, that should be the characteristic of all of us, every one of us. Always giving out, always doing for, and it revitalizes you, it invigorates you, it gives you more passion, focus, energy. Oh, what can I do for someone else? Here's the second line. While the Christian is giving, observe the fool. Look at this. He's dying. He's starving, NIV. He's starving to death. See, the unregenerate, really, when you get down to it, they have nothing. Nothing. So my wife and I went to MD Anderson this past week, and she started her radiology treatments. Only two. For 2 days. So we go to the radiology department, never been there before, and here comes the attendant first thing, and she pulls out her big computer and she looks over and she types as she looks at us. And she goes through checking all the boxes. Pain, sleeplessness, cold sweats, you just go through it, you know. But she comes to anxiety. Do you have any anxiety? She said. Well, my wife said, a little. I've never been radiated before. And she said, oh, well, would you like for me to go get a social worker? You know, and we turned around and looked at one another. Really? That's the best you got? A social worker? My wife said, no, I have a Savior for all of that. The world is starving to death, and they don't even know it. That's what's pathetic about it. The rich and powerful, filling their lives with things, activities. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And then who's going to win it next year? Let me give you a meditation. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Here's what Jesus says to us. Do not be afraid, my little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What does that mean? I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know if that's millennial kingdom, if it's eternal kingdom. I don't have any idea. But I know it's grand and it's great. And I know that all of the riches of this earth, all stockpiled into one common number with a line underneath it, the wealth of all of the earth that's produced couldn't buy one square inch of the kingdom. That's what I know. And I'm pretty confident of that. when you say, no eye has seen and no ear has heard all of the great things that He has for us, then it's beyond anything that we can ever even simply imagine in our minds. And we're headed for all of that. Praise be to God. Now, here is our last proverb, 22. It's an amazing proverb. It's a standalone. On the surface, reading tells us that the Lord is a source of all of our power. He's the one that gives us enduring wealth with no troubles. And we've seen this proverb in responsive ways for us. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats brim with new wine. Enduring wealth is what we're talking about. Wealth beyond the grave. The wise are filled with riches and wealth far beyond anything that we could ever even imagine and for all eternity. Now let's begin by looking at the observation of the proverb itself. The word Lord there, that's 10:3, the second use of the covenant name for God. The covenant name here invoked, the God of relationship, the God of covenant, He is the agent of your blessings. And that word, blessing, power, potency, used throughout the Old Testament. It is your relationship with God that delivers all of that to you and to your person. His power alone. So, let's never talk about our smarts or our timing or our vision or our anything. Everything is to Him, for Him, unto Him. It is all about Him. We're just empty jars. Blessings. In all that we do, we diligently seek to honor Him. And that's the benediction of our lives. This word trouble, NIVs, painful toil, translated that way in chapter 5 and verse 10. Lest a stranger enrich by your painful toil. The word is used of childbirth. Genesis 3:16, with pain. And that's our word. That's how you give birth to children. Labor, pain is the means by which God brings life into the world and ordains it for your survival and the earth's survival. And He adds, that is from the Lord alone. Hard labor. And yet, in all of life, it is one constant blessing. That's what the life of salvation is. Yes, but you've gone through so many hardships and dangers and difficulties. Yes, yes. And what's your testimony? Well, it's the same as mine. Yes, yes. But the Lord has seen me through it all. And He has blessed me. And I wouldn't trade my life, my simple life, for the life of a great king with all honors and all riches here. Why? Because I've grown. And I understand my Savior better. And I understand this life of wisdom better. How to live. What to live for. What's really valuable. Be of great joy, my children. The Lord God Almighty has determined to give you the kingdom. Your blessings don't start here. They start every day forward, no matter what, all the way, and not at the grave end, but through the grave, because you have enduring wealth. Wealth beyond anything anyone can imagine. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. What a God that would do that for us. Nobody's. Nobody's. and to make us kings and princes. He raises the poor from the dust, the needy from the ash heap, and He seats us with princes. Praise be to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning to us. What an encouragement, what a blessing to know that we have laid up for us treasure beyond compare. No one can take it from us. No one can steal it. No thief can break through. And you are the God who gives it to us. To you be glory and honor. Bless your people here today who have heard your word. Strengthen them and minister to them because they have heard your word. In Jesus' name, amen.